1 Corinthians 1, 1 through 9. From Paul, who was called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and from our brother Sothesenes, to the church of God which is in Corinth, to all people who are called to be God's holy people, who belong to him in union with Christ Jesus, together with all people everywhere who worship our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. I always give thanks to my God for you because of the grace he has given you through Christ Jesus. For in union with Christ you have become rich in all things, including all speech and all knowledge. The message about Christ has become so firmly established in you that you have not failed to receive a single blessing as you wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be faultless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is to be trusted. The God who called you to have fellowship with him, his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
And from the Gospel of John. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness. I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and I have borne witness that this is the Son of God." The next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and they saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. Ye shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So good to see you. And isn't it a beautiful day? Wonderful day. If I do this blanketly, I'll miss it. So I want to make sure I get it right. If you have served Christ as a missionary on the foreign field, besides our guests this morning, raise your hand. Right now. We've had volunteers in this church on foreign fields besides that. I'm just sure. There we go. Good. 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 Doug and Jana Williams are here, and they have dedicated their lives to serving God for a number of years in the Middle East. And Jana is one of those rare Asheville-ians who speaks Arabic and is called upon to exercise that occasionally along the way. We have two with us today who are among the earliest Cooperative Baptist Fellowship missionaries we've had. They are very familiar in CBF circles nationwide and, of course, around the world. They have been in this church before as guests of this church, and then one other time they were with us across the way there in our dining room as a part of our Western North Carolina CBF. So this is their third visit to Hominy, really. But it's been a good long time, so let me reintroduce them to you. Gennady and Mina Podaisky are here today. They are active missionaries in the Ukraine. I'll let them tell their own story that way. But what an interesting couple they are. Gennady was born in Russia, and moved to Ukraine. Mina, his wife, was born in Mexico. The two of them are married, and it was so wonderful. And I have to admit, a little cute, a little precious this morning when Mina said, you know, we both have strong accents, but our children, none of them speak with an accent. Perfect English, straight through. So I know that perfect English is up for interpretation, because I think I have perfect English. But when I go up north, people say, what did you say? These wonderful people serve primarily in and around the area of Kyiv, Ukraine. And yes, if you're like me, Kyiv is the same city that I was taught to pronounce, Kiev. It is the same, and I believe now the spelling is K-Y-I-V. They carry about every day the work of missionaries that you would expect. They are constantly leading Bible studies, they're counseling, they're bringing groups into their homes, they're offering food, they're having share groups and fellowships, they work with youth and children, all of those things. But perhaps what has, I think, gained the greatest attention internationally is their work to develop the City of Hope. Village of Hope, the Village of Hope. It is an amazing ministry that works with foster families and children. Right now, I think I'm right in this, there are approximately 21 children there in the Village of Hope. I will say that Mina is an author and trainer, and she has developed the Life Skills Manual for Youth, widely used. It has 10 various modules, and she and Gennady work to provide skills and tools for orphaned children to navigate life so that they can not only live independently, but that they can live Christian lives independently. That's remarkable, isn't it? And it is our blessing today to have you here today. Thank you for giving us your time.
Good morning, church. As I walk in the church and I pick up a bulletin, there is a saying, a season of baptism. And I did not understand what it means. And I asked pastor, and of course he explained me what it means. An interesting coincidence is that today about 260 million Orthodox Christians celebrate baptism of Jesus. So that is a very important Orthodox celebration in the eastern part of Europe and in the Eastern Orthodox world. But anyway, we are celebrating baptism of Jesus, our own baptism, and I'm sure pastor will be preaching and teaching about it more. Today I want to preach about one of the earliest facets or parts of our ministry in Ukraine. And I name my sermon, You Give Them Something to Eat. And we will come to it a little bit later. In the past 17 years since we lived in Ukraine, in Kyiv, Kyiv became our hometown, and indeed we love Kyiv. I would say we and our kids, we love Kyiv. When we came to Kyiv, Ukraine, and it was winter, and in the Sunday school time, we were showing some snowy pictures. But that is nice view of a city, which is about 5 million population, and it combines old, you can see Orthodox Church on the foreground, and some high-rises, basically we call them living quarters, where, probably several million people live. So that is city of Kyiv, and if you will come and visit us, you will see it a little bit more. Here are some of the winter pictures, and that was in the very first winter. That is the central street of Kyiv, and it is closed to traffic on Sundays, so people can walk there. So we walk there, and those were the pictures. Here is one of the views from one of the hills, and there is frozen river. And that is probably the biggest snowstorm we had, about 40 inches of snow in March. So people cleaned just little paths and could walk there. And that is fun, and our kids like it, and they like to play in the snow, which they are missing now. We came originally to Kyiv at the invitation of the Ukrainian Baptist Union, and they wanted us to help them with their ministry to street children. Here is some of the street children, and we took that picture at the train station. There were several thousand, actually between 17 and 24,000 of street children in Kyiv alone. So thousands of street children. So we started ministering to them in different places, and you will see some of the other pictures, and that is Mina and another lady from the ministry with which we partnered. And you can see the writing there, street children living around heating pipes. You don't really see them, but I will show you their legs. No, not that way. Those are the legs dangling, and the children were hiding beneath the pipes because obviously they didn't want that we would take picture of them. So there were hundreds of those kids in this place and in other places. And when we learned about this number of thousands of street children, the very first thought I was thinking, how in the world are we going to help them? How are we going to feed those thousands of street children? And a little bit later I will tell you how or what happened. So as I was mentioning, it was on the train station in winter, cold temperatures. And here are pictures of some of the kids, as you can see, when they live outside or around the pipes or in the tunnels where heating pipes going, then something happens with their faces. I remember that boy when we met him, and I asked him, how old are you? And he was thinking, and he told that I'm 16 or 17. Obviously, he is not 16 or 17. I wanted to take that cigarette out of him, of his hand, but I knew that if I will do it, that will be the last time when he can listen to me. So I was just next to him, talking to him, and he was acting like an adult. But indeed, he was a kid who needed love, acceptance, who needed parents, and he didn't have them. And that's many kids didn't have parents, and that's why they were on the streets. Other kids had parents, but parents threw them out on the streets because there was substance abuse and all kinds of abuse in the homes. Other parents couldn't provide for the children, and they sent them to the streets to fend for themselves. And these were the Christmas gifts. As you can see, there is a date, 1-9. So it was 9th of January, and in the Eastern world, Orthodox world, Eastern Church celebrates Christmas 7th of January. So we came right after that and handed them some gifts, Christmas gifts, which were food, some items of hygiene, and some other little things which they were missing on the streets. And a little bit later, as Mina was mentioning on the during the Sunday school class, we realized that just feeding children on the street is not really helping them. It helps them to stay on the streets, and there is an irony. Okay, how do we help them? Yes, feeding them, clothing them, counseling them, helping them. It's a very necessary steps, but those are the first steps which we needed to do. But then needed to be done second step. And the second step was, we called them like day shelters. So this particular place is still working, it's still operating. Was in the basement of one of the high rises, and we asked kids, we told them that come to us, we will feed you there. There was a shower and washer and dryer, they could wash their clothes, or we could give them some new clothes and they could feed there. So that little boy is a gypsy boy, and I remember he didn't really want to eat whatever we gave him. He told that, oh, I could find something better, meaning that he could steal it somewhere or somehow. But he came there and we were talking to him and we were giving him some food. So it was not just us, but partnering with other people, other organizations. That's how we started helping those street children. And people are asking us, so why were there so many thousands of street children in the beginning of 2000s? We came to Kyiv, Ukraine in 2002. And that is what we saw. We saw a long lines of people who were lined to the stores, grocery stores, to get some basic groceries. If you remember, Soviet Union disintegrated in 1991, and along with the disintegration of the country, or USSR, came a disintegration of political, economical system. Everything was destroyed. Unfortunately, also family system was disintegrating because there was no food, no job, no real government, and everything was kind of in the beginning stages of rebuilding. So there was not enough food, and people were lining to the stores to get. But even if they would get into the stores, they would find something like that. I don't know if you can see it, but there are shelves with several items, grocery items. Yes, there is bread, which is spread all over the shelf, few cans, maybe milk. So even if you would have money, there was not enough groceries, and that was why some of the families could not feed their children, and children were going into the streets. And beginning of 90s, mid-90s was a very hard time, economical time for Ukraine, for other republics, for Russia. And because Ukraine was recently in the all over the news, and you heard about it in view of impeachment and all other events happening there, I included a couple of pictures. And you may remember seeing it. It's President Bill Clinton with President Leonid Kuchma, who was president of Ukraine. And when we came to Ukraine, he was still president. And here is another picture of President Clinton with Boris Yeltsin, who was the president of Russia in that time. And that is important time because in 1994, in Budapest, several world leaders signed a memorandum of security assurances. And it was signed by Russia, UK, and the United States. And it basically protected the rights and territorial integrity of Ukraine, Belarus, and Kazakhstan. Unfortunately, as we know, 6 years ago, Russia invaded Ukraine, broke that memorandum. And after that, many things happened, not good things happened. But that is a world which we came in 2000s, and there was poverty, disintegration of the family, and country was trying to rebuild itself from new. But also in 1994 happened a few more important and more interesting things for the two of us. I met Mina at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. In 1994, I proposed her and we got married. And we had 3 kids in Louisville, Kentucky. We completed our degrees and 8 years later, we moved to Ukraine. And that is how our family looked like when we came with all our 3 little kids. 3 little kids who were a constant reminder to us that each child has to have family. Each child needs to belong. And when we were going to serving those 3 children, there were like a groups of them. And some of them connected into groups and formed other families. Some girls, we saw them on the pictures, played the role of mother. There were kids as little as 4 or 5 years old, and older ones were on the streets trying to bring food and provide for their street family. So that was interesting organization, but our kids were reminding us that each child has to have parents, people who would take care of them, who love them, who accept them, who will teach them, who will lead them and prepare them for adult life. So those were the street children whom we were ministering, and I already showed you this picture, but I will show it again because those faces I remember clearly how they were coming to us, and we were ministering them, and we were trying to give them some food. But when again we were trying to minister to them, I was thinking again and again how we can give so much food to thousands of street children. And that reminded me a passage in the Bible, in Mark 6, starting verse 30 through 37, and we would read it. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourself to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." So here we can see a situation that Jesus came, landed on the edge of Sea of Galilee in this particular place, and it's called Tapha. This past March, Mina and me were able to go with the Christian tour group to Israel, and we were standing exactly in that place where Jesus fed those multitudes of people. And that is the Sea of Galilee and the Church of the Multiplication, which is erected on the place where Jesus fed those people. And inside that church, there is that ancient mosaic, which I took picture of it, and behind the mosaic, there is that stone where, according to the tradition or legend, it was exactly precise place where Jesus broke the bread. So that again reminded me about that question of 17 years ago when we came to Ukraine and we needed to feed all those children. But then I was thinking that in a way it sounded to me like I had a Jesus syndrome, as you can heard probably about it, that we need to save everybody, we need to help everybody, we need to feed thousands of street children, which we couldn't. We couldn't, because even to feed 100 street children would take all our time to buy food, prepare it, to serve it to them, and it would, of course, take lots of funding, which we didn't have enough. So in that time, we started doing what probably most of us would do when we meet with some kind of serious situation, problem. We look at the problem in the light of our own resources. Okay, how much money do I have? How much time I have? Energy? What do I have and how I can help them? But sometimes it happened to us, we were forgetting that God called us to be there, and he would provide means, time, connections of how to address that problem. So we look at the problem, we couldn't do it, and we started praying, "Lord, how we can do it?" And then we started meeting other people, other Christians, missionaries, charitable organizations, which were addressing the same problem of street children. So we started partnering with them, and I would say that 17 years, I can tell you that there is no street children problem in Kyiv. There are no thousands of street children, maybe few of them coming or going, but not so many of them. And it is not because of us, but because we became a part of God's solution to that problem, because those kids were God's kids. They were created in his image, even though if they didn't know in that time. So when we start partnering, when we start meeting with other people, talking, things start happening. But in order for that to happen, we needed to obey God's voice, we needed to listen his voice, we needed to listen his call, and we needed to understand it, apply it to us, and move to Ukraine with all three of our small children. And I remember when we were telling people that, yes, we are going to move to Ukraine, and it was winter, it was cold, and some people were asking us, are you going to take your three little children with you? We told that, yes, we cannot leave them over here because they are our kids and they are small. And you are going to live with them in this winter cold time? Yes, we are going to do that. So we answered God's call, and God blessed us. God blessed all our family. And all our kids consider Kyiv their hometown. They like it. They were participating with us in our ministries to whatever degree they could. And it was a good thing for our family. So whatever the call God placed in your life, I strongly recommend you do it. You obey it. And God's blessings, God's peace will be with you. A second lesson from this passage and from the story is that we know that there was a little boy who had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. We don't know his name, but he was there and he was willing to give whatever little he had. And the little in the hands of God, in the hands of Jesus, becomes a lot. It was sufficient to feed 5,000 men plus women and children. So I don't know exactly how many thousands there were. And Jesus fed them. So when we came to Kyiv, Ukraine, and we were preparing those, I remember, hot dogs and macaroni or whatever we could do it, and we were cooking, preparing, partnering with other people, and we saw that more and more people were joining from different churches. So little whatever we could have in our hands becomes a lot in the hands of Jesus. But it was not that easy. It was not that, you know, we received anonymous check on $1 million or something like that. It was hard work, daily work, and we had problems, we had hardship. We had problems from the side of police, which didn't want us to feed those children because they were, you know, scattering them around and they're trying to catch them and they were running away. Even from the governmental standpoint, I remember we were trying to partner with some of the social systems representatives, and we had one big meeting, and eventually they told us, we will allow you to work with our street children if you give us your money. So he told, we know that there is a problem, but we have money, but we prefer to do it our own way. Probably you heard that Ukraine was and still is very corrupted country, unfortunately. So there was lots of corruption and people were trying to make money on everything, even on the street children. So we couldn't partner with them, and we were trying to partner only with our Christian organizations who were willing and able and we had trust with. So there are moments in our life when we have problems, we have troubles, we have some kind of dead ends. And exactly in those moments, Jesus comes and helps us. And we can realize that Jesus promised, as we just heard from the children's sermon, I will be with you always. So he is with us always. And if we are going and doing his will, his work in the world, he will be with us always. And I don't know which problem or crisis you are experiencing right now, each one of you personally, maybe in the family, maybe in the area of your health or finances, or in relationship with your children. But God is able to help you. He is there, willing and ready to come into your life, into your problems. And with him, everything will be okay. Maybe not immediately as we want. Maybe you will need to go through it a little bit more to realize that God is right next to you, step by step, you're going and walking with him. As we did for a number of years, feeding those children and then bringing them into the day shelters. And then we moved to a next phase of ministry, which we call Village of Hope, where we could accept and take, or foster family could take, just maybe a couple of dozens of kids. But for those kids, it was probably life-changing decisions that they were able to grow up and to be in the Christian families, to learn about God, about Jesus, about His love. And now most of them are gone, like in one family, and they are grown up people, but they know the Lord and they want to do mission work. Like one of the children is returned back to his mom and trying to witness to her, and other children whom we know, they are volunteering in the children's homes, in the orphanages. So we can see how Word of God is working already in the next generation. And that is about it. My time is over, and I would like to conclude my sermon with my last slide. That is a little plaque on the wall of the Church of the Multiplication, and it's kind of not noticeable, but I noticed it, and I stood next to it, and I realized that that is, has a very deep meaning. At thy word, I will let down the net. It's Luke 5:5. In that story in the gospel, disciples were fishing all night and couldn't catch anything. And then came Jesus, and he was preaching and teaching there. And then at the end, he tells Peter, let down your net. And Peter answers him, Lord, but we were fishing all night. We were like professional fishermen, and we couldn't catch anything. But then he tells, at thy word, I will let down the net. So he let down the net, and they caught great number of fish, great number of fish, because he was obeying just very simple command of Jesus, let down the net. So today God tells us something else. Maybe not let down your net, physical nets, but to do something with your life, with your calling, with your free time, or with your busy time, with your family, with your children, and if you will obey, and then the good things will happen. And that phrase, the deeds and miracles of Jesus are not actions of the past. Jesus is waiting for those who are ready, prepared to take risks at his word because they trust his power utterly. I encourage you to trust God, to trust his power, and let down your nets. Amen.